Welcome to the How the Heck Have You Been podcast. I'm Mark, and as the title would suggest, I just call up a bunch of people I haven't talked to forever and ask them how the heck they have been. So here's some intro music and the show. All right, here we have my first ever teacher edition of How the Heck Have You Been. I sit down and talk with the person I knew as Miss George, the chemistry teacher in 10th grade, who is now Mrs. Blake. We talk about meeting her husband. We talk about her time at L.D. Bell and all the influence she had on me. So I hope you enjoy. Here's our conversation. There she is. Let's see. Is that Miss George / Blake? Oh, my gosh.
It is. I don't know if... Is there no picture yet?
I can't see picture yet. Let's see. Sometimes you have to click it. Hey, there you are outside like a champ.
Well, part of it is we switched phone providers and it doesn't always work inside the house.
Oh, nice.
So I'm outside the house.
It shot me right back to COVID teaching virtually outside. We were outside a lot with my girls so they could at least be somewhere doing something.
Absolutely. Oh,
how's it going? How the heck have you been?
Okay, you know.
In one sentence.
Life.
So you were my,
one sentence, just.
Yeah. 10th grade chemistry teacher at L.D. Bell High School. You did not have anything to do with marching band, so this will be a nice refreshing break from most of my episodes that have all been kids I knew in marching band. But, so that was, I was just thinking about that. That was the year of 9/11. So on September, the second, you know, month of your class, the towers were hit. And that's one of my main memories. I still think back to you telling us about the Wingdings, you know, that font where you could translate if you typed 911.
Oh, yeah.
It had the plane into the buildings. Good old conspiracy.
That was before I knew about, what is it, Snopes?
Yeah, to check all the things. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good site. Yeah. And speaking of websites, you were the first person I ever heard mention the name Google. You told us about Google that year. You were like, you know, a really cool search engine right now is, because everybody was using Ask Jeeves and maybe Yahoo search or something. And you introduced me to Google.com. This is crazy. Because now it's just
I had only known to invest in. Right.
Nice. Okay, so, and then yeah. I have to ask, how long had you been teaching that year, in 2001?
So I started in the fall of 98, so that was only my third year,
okay. That makes sense, because yeah. Now, I mean, it's funny seeing we have kids about the same age. How young is your daughter?
She just turned 11 a couple of days ago.
Oh, that's awesome, okay. So my oldest is 8, so there's the 3 years.
Well, your anniversary, though, was right before ours. So you just celebrated...
We just celebrated 13.
Yeah, so you're a year ahead of us.
You just celebrated 12?
Yes, but like on March 13th.
Oh, that's your anniversary too? Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's fun. Yeah, so I may have told this story because our 10-year anniversary, we went back to the hotel. We got married at the Embassy Suites in Irving. They had that nice – they used to have like a nice water feature in the middle – and like a gazebo where they held a bunch of events. But we went back for our 10-year, and that was the week before the COVID shutdowns. And so, like, there was almost nobody in the hotel. It was almost completely dead. There were some people out because nobody really knew, has it hit us yet? Is this as bad as it's going to get? Back. What's happening? Nobody was traveling, but we were still able to do stuff.
Okay, so I have to ask. There is something that I have credited you with for years.
Oh, I'll take it. Yes, it was me.
Well, I think it was, but were you the one to gift me with the CD?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, because my husband came to the picture much later. In fact, I became a stay-at-home mom not too long, just 2 years after we got married. And so he doesn't know me fully as a teacher. And by that point, I had switched schools and everything. And I always told him that, you know, there was this kid.
That was illegally burning a bunch of songs. I remember Ray Fuller, Coach Fuller, asking me, He's like, this is all legal, right? You know, knowing that it was. And I was like, of course, yes.
Of course, of course.
And for those who don't remember, might be younger than us, those were like the Wild West days of the internet where there was Napster and there was like Pirate Bay later where you could literally just download anything you wanted peer-to-peer.
But you didn't, I didn't get like a mixtape from you though. I got 15 tracks
of
Ice Ice Baby. Because I absolutely hate that song.
Now it's coming back to me. That's I should send you one of the original mix ones now. That's sad.
Yeah. So mine was special and I knew it was made for me.
I'm not remembering because now you may have had, did you have Steve Pratt as a student?
Oh yeah, of course.
Because I remember he wanted to do biology, I think. I remember when he graduated, he was talking about, it may have even been chemistry.
He's teaching chemistry now.
Yes, yes. And I think he was like one of the only, I remember the big news that he got a 5 on the AP exam, I believe, or something.
It was a very, well, every year was a very small class of people that took AP Chem. So, yeah.
But, so he's the one who introduced us all to Ice Ice Baby, because did we play it in band or did he just do the dance in band? But he would like direct with that kind of dance where you do the high step, the Ice Baby dance. And then so I think Toby and I must have been singing it in your class. I remember memorizing all of the lyrics. So you probably just got tired of hearing it. And so for Christmas every year, I gave that mix CD with like just 15 tracks of my favorite music. But I must have burned you a special one with.
Oh, you did. Yes, there's no doubt. Yeah, I remember when that came out because they used to do the top 9 at 9 on the radio. Mm-hmm. And there was one night that all 9 were Ice Ice Baby. Like no one had called into the radio and requested anything else. So your CD was like reminiscent of
nice. That. It's so, not the greatest song ever. And also they ripped off Milli Vanilli, so. All right,
but then years later, I went on a trip to Vegas and I actually walked into a club and Vanilla Ice was performing.
Nice. I had some friends in college who went to see him live and I guess he like sprayed them with water, like got a water bottle and like poured it on the front rows of the people in the pit or something. And they were like, that was kind of weird, but we enjoyed the rest of it.
All right. Yeah. I don't think I would purposely pay money to go hear him.
To go see him. No. It's fun. I forget how many big artists are just end up in Vegas doing the regular, you know, the regular shows. It's such good money. You can go and see them. All right. So let's go back a little bit, even before high school. So you went to Texas Tech.
I did.
And was LD Bell your first job? Or did you teach at another campus before that?
No, that was it. So I went to a job fair in the spring when I was doing my student teaching. And had never actually even heard of Hirschulis Bedford ISD before.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And they had a booth, so I gave them my application, my resume stuff. And my sister was living in Lake Worth at the time, and they got married in May. And so I was house-sitting for them, and I got a call from HEB saying, would you come in for an interview? And it was convenient because otherwise, I was living with my parents in Wichita Falls, but I happened to be staying in Lake Worth, and I was like, sure. So I went in for an interview, and I remember after leaving with the district person, or after the meeting with the district person, they said, hang on just a sec, and came back and said, can you be at LD Bell in about 2 hours? So I had an interview that day with Mr. Brown, and the only other official offer I got was from Greenville, which is where I went to high school. But HEB was paying $6,000 more for a starting teacher, and that was hard to pass up.
Yeah.
But it was my very first teaching job. And nice. I was the youngest person on the faculty when I started. We had retreat, and I was 22.
Uh-huh. That's so funny because I taught that same year, like I taught right out of college as well. And I recently had a student in the first class I taught. And he was like, you're only 7 years older than I am. Like, we're the same generation. Like, yeah, pretty much. There's not much difference. Yeah.
And then there's the kids who are like, my sister's older than you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, yeah. Yep.
There's lots of people older than me, but you aren't, and I have a degree and you don't.
Yeah. So. Well, and I've always been bad with ages, like guessing people's ages until recently. And so I just assumed all my teachers were, 45. You know, I didn't even take a minute to look at how old they look. I just assumed they're all middle-aged adults. And then I'm like, the senior on Facebook is like, wait a second. She must not be. She just had a kid. Her kids are like the same age as mine. She's been married.
Age do you teach?
So I taught for 5 years at Grapevine High School, straight out of college. I did my student teaching with Julie Moore at Grapevine High School. And then that was just my foot in the door. And they had a job. And it was close to where my wife and I were. So, but I've always taught 9th and 10th grade-ish. But I'm certified, 6 through 12, I think. Or maybe just 8 through 12.
All secondary.
But then I took 3 years off to be a stay-at-home dad, like you've done. 3 years of that was enough. It was great. It was great. And then we had our second daughter, and then I was like, oh, this is a lot more work, and we need more money. So I went back to work full time. I actually worked at a little early college high school. I don't know if you know much about that. It's kind of a growing phenomenon where you can. The kids can go and they get their diploma, but they also graduate usually with an associate's degree, like a 2-year degree from TCC.
Interesting. So, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, our campus actually was on TCC's campus. We were all employed by Grapevine Colleyville, but we taught on their campus, and the kids would, get high school, 9th and 10th grade from us, and then we'd kind of ease them into all dual credit classes at TCC with professors. And so it's kind of a cool thing. They get that diploma for free for whatever their parents pay in taxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially if it benefits kids who might otherwise not get any kind of degree. Yep. Yeah.
So that's been great. And then I recently resigned full time. So now I'm doing part-time art, part-time writing, part-time teaching at a private school that is all soccer. It's kind of cool. It's like a really tiny, there's like 16 kids per graduating class. It's called Allegiance Academy in Euless, but they have this world-renowned coach who they train elite soccer in the morning, and then they get their diploma, with core classes during the day and electives. So,
Interesting.
So then
how do you sometimes have to clock in on Friday? What's that?
It's an A-B schedule where the Fridays rotate, and so I work only B days. So if it's a B day, I'm there, and if it's an A-day Friday, I'm not.
Gotcha. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So what was the decision like for you to go home, to stay home as a stay-at-home mom? Was it just for the family side, the rosy picture, or was it also like, was your job getting too stressful, or did you really like where you were working?
Well, I did like where I was. So I was at Bell for 12 years.
That's a long time.
And then in 2010, I decided that some of the strain and tension, uncomfortableness between some of the administration and me was not worth it anymore. So I went to Coppell High School.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so I was there. So during my first year there, I got married. And then during my second year there, I had a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the commute from, and my husband works for FEMA, which for this region is based in Denton. So I moved to Denton when we got married, and the commute from Denton to Coppell was 35 was still under construction at that point. And I spent so much time on the road. And, after you have a kid, your priorities change.
Mm-hmm.
And his job pays well enough that it did not seem, we didn't feel like turning her upbringing over to someone else was worth whatever I would make as a teacher and then turn around and pay someone else
for daycare.
It just didn't make sense. So the original plan was that I would stay home until she started school, and then I would go back to work. When she was 11 months old, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
And so I had surgery and treatment. And because my husband works for FEMA, he would get deployed frequently to major disasters. And So he would be gone for 6 weeks, 2 months, you know, and that's a strain and a struggle on a relationship and a family. And we would go up and visit him, but we had responsibilities here. We had to take care of the house and the animals and, you know, that kind of thing. And, but we, after a couple of years, we decided when she was getting closer to, school age, we decided we wanted to be in a different zone. And there's a neighborhood that we have had adored for years with big trees. And, you know, it just had the feel that we wanted for life. Mm-hmm. And so we looked into buying, and it took us a couple of years to find a house. And of course we had all these like non-negotiables, and the house that we have has all the things we said we didn't want, but we love being here. Within a month after moving in, he got really sick. And a couple months later, he was diagnosed with cancer. So then it was one of those, I was so glad that I had not gone back to work yet, because life then was even more different than we had anticipated, because his treatment was inpatient. So he didn't go to a clinic and get infusions and come home. He had to stay for weeks on end, and things were just not what we had anticipated. So when she started school, he was going to back to work some, but we weren't quite ready for me to go back to work as well. And so I just became very involved at her school volunteering, and she's now in the fifth grade, and that's what I'm still doing. I still haven't gone back to the classroom. Although I've started subbing, but only at her school. So I'm nice. Still on her schedule, and the teachers all know me, and because I was up there all the time for PTA anyway.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I get paid.
Yeah, I did one semester of subbing before I took this private, because I was just going to, like, I'll sub a couple days and stay home and you know, do more of the stay-at-home parent thing, and then got headhunted. But I've thought about subbing at my daughter's school, but I don't know if I can handle elementary age kids.
It is, it's very different.
A lot of structure, a lot of, just from what I've seen from the Easter egg hunts and stuff they put on, you know, it's like.
Man, it's, although I'll tell you, one day I subbed for the art teacher, and that was eye-opening for me, because it's one group from each grade who comes through during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it simply confirmed that I am not meant to do like kindergarten and first.
Yeah.
Like that is not where my calling is. Third was pretty good. Fourth, pretty good. I've done fifth a few times. Second is questionable.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about seventh grade. I'm like, I don't think I could ever do that.
Yeah. And so I've talked about possibly doing some middle school next year, because she'll be in middle school and I'll get to know those teachers. But I haven't even done that yet, because middle school is its own animal as well.
All those hormones flying around.
Oh, nobody knows what to do with them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sure. And that 1 or 2 year window where everybody's at like a different stage of development through puberty, and it's like some haven't developed at all and some are complete adults with beards. It's wild.
Well, and you know, the technology is so different now. Everything's so different now than it was even when I stopped. Because that's been 11 years.
Yep.
And so I'm just leery of going back. And yeah.
We, our school just started taking up phones and locking them up, because there's only whatever, 120 kids. And so it's been great, because if they're not on their laptops, there's no internet access.
Yeah, absolutely. And the parents actually have to communicate through the office if they need to get a hold of their kids.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, so that's so wild. So you both had cancer diagnoses at similar times. Are you both hopefully in remission and doing well right now?
We are. Yeah, he has a lot more side effects from his treatment. I just have some, you know, some issues that I'll deal with forever. But it's, yeah, so far so good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm 10 years out, and everything's good in that regard.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah. It's hard to know now how scared we should be about. It's still a, you know, I assume a terrifying diagnosis, but you know, 20 years ago, it was like always fate. It seemed like it was always fatal. Oh my God. And now I'm like, oh wait, she's in remission. He's in remission too. Oh, they're doing all right. So some are more treatable than others.
I'm questioning. I'm like, you know, when I started teaching at Bell, there were all these chemicals in the storeroom.
And oh yeah. Yeah.
There was a list of like the, you know, it's almost like the seven deadly sins, but it was like the seven things you should never have in a high school chem lab. And we had everything.
What are some of them? I'm just curious.
Oh gosh. Well, we had a jar that had 15 pounds of mercury in it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't even remember. Some of the others were, there were some different acids and things and just stuff that they had changed the rules. And they also had labels on them from like 1967. So there was just a lot of questionable things. But I would go in there and try to clean up. And I just, you know, it's one of those, it's like, did teaching there give me cancer?
It's possible. You never know.
You never know.
Well, after COVID, I was, I guess, just dumb before that, is when I realized, oh, your health, your level of health matters. You know, your level of exercise helps. So now, like, when I'm jogging and I'm on a busy street and a car goes by, I try to breathe out through my nose slowly so I'm not breathing in all of the, you know,
all the exhaust, yes.
Or the toner on our laser printer in the office. You know, if I try not to breathe that in as it's going. I used to work at a print center, and apparently that's carcinogenic,
oh,
too.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah, breathing
in. Well, kudos to you for running, because unless somebody's behind me, you know, with a weapon, mm-hmm. I am not going to be running.
It takes quite a while to develop a any sort of enjoyment out of it, I'll say. My sister got me into it. She wanted to do a full marathon, and the first few weeks I was like, this is miserable. Running just sucks in all regards. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, when I could get a mile or 2 miles, then your heart finally kind of starts wanting it a little bit.
Oh man.
I want to do less because it's so hard on your joint. I want to try to swim more, but that's just a pain in the butt to get to the gym and pool and change, and
yeah,
then your skin's all dry and chloriney.
Yeah, I would actually do that when my daughter was in, she went to a Mother's Day out 2 days a week when she was three and four, and I would drop her off and I would go swim. So I did enjoy that, and I would take that any day over running.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Okay, so let me see. What else do I have on my list here? All right, I remember your mole assignment. You remember having us make the stuffed moles, and I must admit, I don't remember what the number is. Avogadro's number is different, right?
6.02 times 10 to the 23rd.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because Mole Day is on October 23rd. How could you forget that?
Oh, okay. See, I know Shakespeare's birthday is April something. April 16th, I think.
Oh, well, that's coming up.
No, 23rd, I think. April 23rd.
Well, still coming up.
Yeah.
A week late.
Nice.
Yeah, in fact, I still have... So we have some land in Oklahoma, and we have a big storage container on it. And in it is all my teaching stuff. Because, you know, well, not all. I pared it down significantly. But with the thought of I might go back someday, I couldn't turn loose of all of it. And I have a box with moles that I kept.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I'm sure I desperately wanted to keep mine because I was pretty proud of it. Mine was a roadkill mole.
It was roadkill. You didn't have to stuff yours. Yes, it had tire tracks across the belly.
Yes, you remember. Oh my, I can't believe you remember that.
I remember. I remember. Yes.
Oh, let me. Now, okay. Go ahead.
Were the Vaughn brothers, was that your group or was that a different?
That might have been different. V-A-U-N?
V-A-U-G-H-N.
What were their first names?
Robert and... Oh,
I don't think so.
Okay.
I have a yearbook here. Although, okay, did you know Mike Shilley very well? Michael Shilley?
I did not. I mean, we taught there a couple of years together.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't. I didn't know him very well.
He's my godfather. He lived down across the street from. Yeah. He's literally right next door from my dad.
Nice.
But that was the year they did the palindrome yearbook, and it was like a nightmare because They reversed the pages. They had like the pages were palindromic from like, and so nobody could find their pictures and everybody was upset. It was great on paper, but
yeah, I could see that.
Poor Mike. That was the year he got, that year that I had you, it was when he got Teacher of the Year.
Nice.
Ryan and Kendra Vaughn. But I don't think they were, which is weird because they're on way different pages, so that might not be who you're talking about. But anyway, did they do fun moles too?
Well, I know that I kept theirs. One was like an Einstein mole. So there's like a mad scientist.
Oh yeah, because I remember you showing us those. So it must have been before us.
Oh, okay.
You probably. I remember those as examples. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually went through this past summer and went through it, and there were some that had degraded a bit. So I pared down my mole collection as well.
They had a shorter half-life. Oh, chemistry reference. There you go.
All right. Yes, very nice.
I remember some of that stuff. Well, I will say, so chemistry, I mean, we always loved you. In fact, we had a lot of good teachers that year. We had Miss Treharn for English. She was wild. She was a character. And then we had, I can't remember her name for world history. And then who would have taught, which one am I missing? Math. Oh, Miss Odom for math, I think.
Okay. Yeah, before she became a counselor.
Now, is she still there? I know. So I think Coach Fuller is still there as an administrator. I did the art fair. I need to have Jennifer Couch on too, because she.
Oh, yeah.
She. I remember, because I don't know if you remember me doing my drawings, like in high school is when I started making some. In fact, two of my most popular ones I sell are ones I did in like senior year. But
really?
I may
Which
not
ones have, are those?
There's a waterfall one that I did after we played Shenandoah for band. And that still is a favorite. And then there's an ocean one that I did, like just a beach scene, an abstract beach scene. But the reason
nice. I liked the because I ordered that.
Oh, the bond. Thank you, by the way. Thank you for the support. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was looking through all your other stuff, and I really like the ones that of the birds, and then there's like the mm-hmm. negative
yes.
and the blue greens. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, that was Lauren Denson. I don't know if you had her. You may have.
I remember the name. Yeah.
She commissioned me to do that. We grew up together at her senior high.
Nice.
So, yeah, those are good. In fact, did you have Matt Schoolfield?
Yes, I did.
He just ordered some today. He was like, hey, I want to grab some of those playing cards and I'll take some of the birds. So anyway, I was texting him about that.
Nice.
But the reason I mention it is because I did a couple drawings and I was like, I'll sell these at the LD Bell Craft Fair this year. I was like telling Miss Couch when I was in high school. She was like, Mark, it kind of is hard to get into and it's really exclusive.
Yeah, it takes a while.
And so she was like trying to tamp down my expectations. Like, oh, okay. I can't just do it in a week. And so, but last year I did it. I finally, for the first year, I got in.
You can send her a little, I told you so.
Yep. I was trying to reach out to her. I don't know if you might have her contact information, but she's not on Facebook anymore. And I think she changed her phone number.
That's the only way that I ever would.
Yeah. So Miss Couch, if you hear us, message me somehow. We need to get you on the show. But
your class was, you know, there are just certain groups of students that make an impression on you. And your graduating class was just such a good, fun group
mm-hmm.
of kids. I mean, I had so many of y'all as sophomores, but then, you know, several took either, I guess it was AP and IB maybe at the time.
Oh yeah, because we were the first IB class to go through.
Man,
yeah,
that was nuts to try to do those two curriculums together. But that's
another it was yeah. I remember some shady stuff because we would take, you know, we needed an economics credit, and so they were like, well, we'll have it mixed in. So Coach Fuller taught us one of the histories. And so he's like, we'll do Financial Fridays and we'll just cover the economics on Fridays and use that. And we never did it. It always got, you know, pushed and bumped. And so I don't know anything about free markets, but.
Oh, so y'all are the reason that we're in the state where.
Yes, yes. We caused the recession. That was all just us. No, but I was actually going to ask you. I had that on my notes of, I remember talking with Ms. Couch about it. I was like, at the time I even could feel, I was like, does it feel like our class is special in some way? Like, I don't know if, and she seemed to confirm it, but she may have just been being nice to me.
No. I mean, and it, well, y'all may not have been special to every teacher.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, there was, I think that was the first year where for me, students would come in and just start hanging out in my room after school.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a connection there that it happens, I think, very infrequently. But I mean, even I drove a group of, you know, with Liz and Jess and to the prom.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, Raider. Yeah. Elizabeth Fontenot and Jessica Raider. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and they came to my wedding and I went to Jess's wedding.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing some Facebook pictures of that. That's awesome. That's funny.
I mean, there's just, yeah. But that y'all's group, I mean, there are a lot of names that I remember from other years, but I remember more actual students, not just.
Right. Yeah. As a whole, as a group.
But yeah, I mean, and I'm glad that I had that fairly early in my teaching career to know that that does happen.
Yeah. Right.
But it didn't happen the first 2 years. Well, the first year was pretty terrible. So, and the second, I think I was still trying to find my way, but.
Was the first year terrible just because of the lack of experience or for other reasons?
Yes. And you know, I kept a journal for my first year teaching, mm-hmm. and that's one of those things I would encourage every first year teacher to do, because I look back on it now, I'm like, I am amazed that I stuck it out.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was awful.
I kept one for a couple. I mean, I've never loved journaling that much, but I did write a few entries from that first year. Cause I remember I went to UNT and I remember part of the education program, they highly recommended keeping a journal just, if nothing else, just for the sentimental value. But
yeah, I mean, I didn't write in it every day, but I look back on it, I'm like, man, if I could make it through that, I'm invincible. I can do anything.
And it was funny too, because in some ways my first year was one of my best, only because I was so idealistic and so like fresh faced and had that energy and no kids to take care of. And I would wake up and get there an hour early and plan, you know, all day. And now it's like the opposite. Now I'm just good at time management and, you know, it's a job and I'm still trying to be, you know, I'm still trying to inspire kids, but it's just a part of my life. It's not my entire identity anymore.
Yeah. Well, your personality makes a difference too. It's not just knowing the ropes. It's,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that about you. I think that's one reason, you know, kids liked hanging out in your room. You were one of those teachers that, and probably looking back, it's probably partly because you were so young at the time as well. You were still, you know, of a kind. But you always had this like ironic sense of humor. You were still a rigorous teacher, which is a great mix. But you just had this great personality that, you know, it felt like you could give it just as you could dish out the sarcasm just as much as we could give it to you. But you did it with a wink and it was like, all right, she's cool. She's cool.
Well, I'm not sure all classes appreciated that. Yeah. I was told by other students later that maybe I should rein that in.
Never. No. They'll appreciate it later.
Thank you for that. That's nice. Thank you.
Actually, I just had a spark of a memory of maybe like an inappropriate joke you said, but I can't place what it was.
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Let's just leave it at that. Or maybe just use it. Maybe you just use a cuss word at one point.
What?
And
I did?
Maybe not.
That is shocking.
Which is, you know, the opposite of what I was going to write it. Because I remember using just the word hate in your room. And you kind of called me out on it. You were like, that's a really strong word. Are you sure you actually hate that teacher or that class or that work? I was like, okay, maybe not. So there was a little bit of moral guidance there too. So. Okay, now speaking of immorals, morals and amorals, your class is the one class that I once cheated in, but only because here's the thing. It was a moral, what did Fauci call it? A noble lie. It was noble cheating because I had I had studied for this quiz, like, for hours with Toby the day before, and I had it, I even remember it was the, what are the endings of the, like, you give an ending to the element.
Well, like if a compound, you change it from INE to IDE.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. And so I had them all down pat, and I got to the last one, and I was like, crap, no, I know it. And I just had a brain fart, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to look off of Toby's for this one answer on this one quiz, because I should know it, and I'm just blanking out. So anyway, I'm sorry. 20 years later, I'm sorry that I cheated on you. Oh, it's more than that. It's 22 years.
You can confess that to me now.
Yep. I really didn't ever cheat, though. It's just funny. I also didn't cuss in high school until senior year, I think. Because I've told the story on the podcast, but the tubas, we would walk with our horns like on our backs, and we called it badassing it. But okay. I refused to say badass. I would call it bad appling it. And then I got so much grief from them. They're like, Mark, just say it. It's the least bad one.
My kid, luckily, I mean, she's only 11. She doesn't cuss, but my husband does, and she has started fining him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So she's like, you know, I could use some more spending money. You just say whatever you want to.
Get that cuss jar out.
Yep.
That's funny. Oh yeah, I was gonna go back to that. You mentioned it does seem wild how much people just outsource parenting, like you. When both my girls were in daycare, I was like, this is really weird. And it feels wrong almost to like send them off to some other adult that I really don't know that well, other than they're certified through some other board of people I don't also know. I also don't know. And so if you can swing it, and I know it's a privilege to be able to do it for both of us, I'm sure. But if you could have a parent, you know, be home and be taking care of, you know, the family stuff and things like that, it really does seem like it's a good, at least one good system among many.
Well, but then the flip side of that is you commented about how much more work it is once a second one comes mm-hmm. along.
Yep.
And, you know, for some people, I have some friends who did it and, you know, 6 weeks later they said, I don't know how you do this. I'm done. I'm going back to work. My kid's going to daycare. Like, it's just, it's not for everybody.
No, it's not. And you shouldn't feel shame or bad if it's not for you either.
And some families don't have the choice, you know.
Right, right.
We had the choice and it just, it worked for us. And I loved being able to take her, you know, I mean, we went and did stuff, free programs at the library and went to the museums and, you know, we were active and doing things. But I made her work on letters years before she, you know, mm-hmm. if she could hold a pencil, she was going to be tracing letters and stuff before she ever went to preschool. And, you know, that's not for everybody, but yeah, I always just felt weird, you know, saying someone else can do this for my kid, but I did love it when I put her in Mother's Day out to mm-hmm. 2 days.
It's, yeah.
You know, it was incredible. The freedom that then allowed me to do stuff at home and, you know, things that get neglected when you are chasing around a 3-year-old and trying to make sure they are active and stimulated and all that.
Like, oh, we should also be doing dishes too. Yeah. Crap. Yeah, we're fortunate enough to have grandparents in the area, and even one, my wife's mother lives just down the street, so she's able to often watch them at last minute if we need, or give us a little date night, and it's a whole other game, a whole other ball game to have. The bedtime ritual alone can just suck off all the rest of your energy.
Yeah, that's become a joke. I mean, our kid stays up probably way too late most nights. But when she was little and I would be, you know, singing her a song, trying to get her to calm down, and I'd be in the glider in her room and I'd start getting really soft thinking she's going to sleep. And then I'd hear her go, stand up. Like, she didn't want me to sit there and rock her anymore. So now that's just become a thing. You know, if we need somebody to do something, we just turn to him and go, stand up.
That's funny. I had a similar, at one point, my oldest would only take a nap. She was at that kind of transition age where she was transitioning out of a nap, but I could get her to sleep if I was pushing her in the stroller. And so day at like 11 a.m., I would have a little late breakfast or early lunch or whatever, and then go for like an hour walk just to get the time to listen to a podcast or whatever with her in the stroller. And I was like, maybe when we get home, I can just do it for 20 minutes. I'll get home and I'll quietly put the stroller, just roll it into the bedroom. Nope. Has to be moving.
Not going to happen.
I'd go in 5 minutes later and her eyes would just be wide open, staring out. I'm like, all right, let's play.
Yep. Time to get up.
Yeah. So do you think you ever go back to full-time teaching? Maybe when your daughter's in high school, you could teach some high school chemistry?
Maybe. I'm actually hoping that something comes through and that maybe this fall or next spring, I will do some student teacher evaluations.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
So that would still allow me some flexibility, but also put me back in the classroom more frequently. And you kind of shape another group of teachers coming up. So
that'd be awesome.
We'll see if that pans out or not. But
it's wild how many in my mind, when I graduated high school, it's like, I'll just teach for the rest of my life. And then now I'm in a point where I'm like, oh, maybe I don't have to do that. There's all sorts of things I could be doing. You know, I could start my own business, or I could do part-time work here and there. And
I was not planning on being a teacher when I went to college. I thought I was going to be a veterinarian. And everyone in my family was teachers. My mom was, well, my dad was a preacher, but my mom was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. My aunts were teachers. Everyone was teachers. And my sister and I swore that we would never do that. And 2.5 years into my pre-vet stuff, I just wasn't happy. And I thought really hard and said, well, I really wonder, maybe it's supposed to be teaching. And I switched my major, and it was incredible how much better everything was. My attitude about things, the energy I was willing to put into my coursework, and it just felt right. And so did teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird being this far removed from it now, that it makes me really nervous, almost like being a first year teacher all over again, thinking about going back.
Yeah.
So, I still want to be able to help with activities during the day if there is something, or go on a field trip if they need chaperones. Yep. Although he's gotten to where she frequently does not want me to be, which is okay. it's a shot to the heart the very first time she asked me not to go, which was her first overnight trip, entire fifth grade was going camping. But you know, to be able to be there for awards ceremonies or anything that happens during the school day. And if I was teaching full time, I wouldn't have that, or I would have to take time off to do that. But I spent so much time up at the school. The custodians at Bell used to kick me out. They'd come in and say, we're about to set the alarm, because I didn't have, you know, I had a cat, but otherwise there wasn't a lot for me to look forward to going home. And and life is just so different now. And so I would be afraid that I couldn't teach the way I used to teach.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know what it would take for me to find that new balance or whatever is going to work. So I'm not saying that I won't do it, but I'm not jonesing to do it.
Not excited about the full-time gig. Yeah. Well, my perspective is, I think I told this to Chris Hotze in the episode I just did with him, but it's the culture surrounding public education and private, for that matter, is kind of the same at our school. It's impossible to do what everybody thinks you're doing, right? Like, in terms of the laws, in terms of differentiating for special ed kids and for gifted kids, in terms of posting everything 2 weeks ahead of time. Also, make sure that you're, you know, doing a project-based learning. Also, you need to do this. Also, here's another initiative that we really need to do. Also, you're teaching IB now. Also, it's like, I got to the point where I'm like, I'm just going to keep a list of all the things that you think we're doing in an 8-hour workday, because, you know, I've recently been listening to more political and history stuff, and it's reminiscent of, you know, in fascist or communist governments, they just make everything illegal, and they just make it to where everybody's breaking the law all the time, so they get to pick, you know, who to send to prison because everybody should be going. So it started to feel not that bad, but it started to feel like, you know, I can't really do the job you think I'm doing. And I know the person who comes after me isn't going to be any better at it. And it's not like I'm doing a disservice to the kids. But
you do kind of get disenchanted about it. And you never know which part someone's going to focus on.
Right.
You know, the fact that you didn't differentiate the same, you know, mm-hmm. on this assignment versus that, or, you know, during this grading period, you didn't, you know, whatever, yeah. whatever it is, or you forgot to take attendance.
Right. Oh yeah. That was my,
you know, even something as you know, simple as that. And it just, I don't know.
Also
just,
don't teach to the test, but if you have bad test scores, what are you doing? It's like, all right.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. There's a, I just, if you could just leave me alone in the classroom.
Yep.
Just let me do my thing. Yeah.
But the question is that true for most adults or not? I don't think it is true for a lot of people. Like, you do have to hold some people accountable, but.
Yeah. And there are some people who look really good on paper. And if you look at their lesson plans, you'd think they really are doing all of those expectations mm-hmm. every day.
Oh, here is my crowning achievement. So my principal would always say, loved her, Bobby Knutz at Collegiate Academy. Awesome. And I loved Grapevine Colleyville District. Like I don't think it's any weakness of any particular district. It's really just the way the entire system is set up. Maybe uniquely Texas, because I know Texas is all about standardized testing, and we're kind of a leader of in educational stuff in terms of not leader in the good sense, but just like a model.
What not to do.
Yeah. But so she said, hey, I know y'all are all exceptional teachers. I know that you're all distinguished, quote unquote, for what the T-test says, right? She said, if you care about your teacher assessment rating, whether it's, I forget the four labels, you know, needs improvement, great, awesome. Distinguished is the top one. So one year I was reading through all of the T-tests evaluation criteria to be a distinguished teacher. I'm like, there's no way anybody is doing all of this. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take an hour and a half and I'm just going to document all the ways I do this stuff. And I'm going to get all those distinguished. And it was like a joke for the rest of the year. I was the only one that got distinguished because I was the only one that provided her with, you know, document. Like, here's how I differentiate. Here's how I've been grading differently on what kids need. Here's what I've been doing here. And so I shouldn't have done it, because then I just got crap from my peers for the next year about a distinguished Mr. Dye. He's going to give a presentation. Everybody listen to distinguished Mr. Dye. But it was like out of spite. I was like, this is ridiculous. Your expectations are so ridiculously astronomically unreachable that I'm just going to pretend I did it. And
And those are always set by people who
aren't in the classroom,
have never been in the classroom, or have been so removed from the classroom for so long they don't remember what it's like, and that's not manageable.
Yeah. And all the other, I think one of the main flaws, in my opinion, of the school system is that the only way to make a better amount of money to get promoted is to leave the classroom and become an administrator. And so you have most districts just have this hugely bloated administration, you know, where they could be doing, you know, I feel like they should do something like have. Well, I remember Mike Shilley taught at a private school in Columbia, and every administrator had to teach at least one class, even if they were a principal. They taught a class. Like, we need to do something like that where we aren't just leaving the kids, literally leaving the classroom. I know so many great teachers that were so good with kids, but they took an administration job because it paid almost twice as much.
See, and that's, I never had any desire ever be an administrator.
No, that's my least favorite part. Dealing with
you always have to deal with the discipline part, even mm-hmm. if that's not why you're doing it. But yeah.
All right, well, we're getting to the hour mark, and I still have a couple things. I don't know if you know much about how many episodes you may have listened to, but I do give a quiz to every contestant that joins me.
I was like, this is the part when you sent me, this is how you do your podcast. It made me nervous when I saw the quiz. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, wait, before we do that, though, I always forget to ask about if you have, like, a meet cute story with you and your husband. Like, how did y'all meet and get to know each other?
We met online, actually, and he grew up in Colleyville and then came to UNT, but we met online on eHarmony. Our first meeting in person was the morning of an IB hooding ceremony.
Oh no.
So we met at is it Buongiorno, the coffee place there off of what is that, Hall Johnson Road?
Okay, in 121. Yeah, that sounds right.
So we met there for coffee, it was in May. He gives me grief about it. Neither of us were coffee drinkers at the time, but it was one of those, it was like, you're supposed to meet at a public place, a coffee shop, a good place, right? So
you both got like ice waters.
I got iced coffee. He got hot coffee and didn't drink it.
Yeah.
While we were sitting there. But anyway, I also thought, hey, this is a good time because it's limited, because I have somewhere I have to go.
Yeah.
But it was a great meeting in person, but you know, I was all dressed up because I was dressed up for the hooding ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went and took his nephews like to go look at guitars at a pawn shop and stuff after that. Then we talked on the phone, and he was deployed like the next day for a tornado in Oklahoma City.
Oh, wow.
And so
what year was that? This was
2010.
Okay.
No, not 20. Yes. 2010. Yes. And so we were talking on the phone. He goes, I'm going to be up here for a long time. He goes, what do you think about a road trip to Oklahoma City?
Go see the Chihuly glass exhibit.
So our second date was me driving to Oklahoma
for 2 hours. How far? 2 or 3 hours, right? At least.
I think it was more like four.
Might have been four. Okay.
Yeah.
You can get there in two. I know, like Windstar is less than two, I think, but that's right on the border.
Yeah, you got to go a bit farther. So anyway, I stayed up there for a couple of days, and he drove me around to some of the disaster sites, and it was shocking, so eye-opening. And there's a reason we now have an above ground solid pour concrete storm shelter in our backyard.
We talk about it a lot, and we haven't done it.
Yep. Now I'm 10 years older than you, so you know, the age thing is a little bit more apparent, and me, you know, huddling in a closet isn't as likely anymore.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then a few weeks later, I was leaving for a mission trip to Vietnam. So he drove down and took me shopping because he was like, what shoes are you gonna wear? I was like, my tennis shoes. He was like, you can't wear tennis shoes going to Vietnam. Like, that's not the appropriate thing for that weather. So he took me to REI and bought me a nice pair of sports sandals, my first pair.
Nice.
So then he talked to my parents while I was overseas, and he was the one who picked me up from the airport when we got back. And so we've been together since.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. But
yeah, the online dating thing, it seems like so logical. It seems weird to just rely on chance to throw you together with somebody. Whereas if you could, you know, at least have a couple parameters, like here's what I'm looking for. Oh, here's what I'm also looking for. It kind of makes sense. My wife and I connected through Facebook. We actually, you may have known her, Sally Grab. I don't think she ever had you, actually. I think I asked her at one point.
See, and I would say her name sounds familiar, but it might be simply from your Facebook page.
Yeah. She was a year ahead of us, but if not for Facebook, we never would have connected because it was, we had worked at Olive Garden together. And then about a year later, I think I saw her. I was like, oh, I'll reach out to her because we know some of the same people. And sure enough, we started dating.
Oh, so you had time as in the service industry as well.
Yeah, I've done the big, what's the big three? I've done retail with Office Depot. I spent a lot of time as a manager there. And then I did just one summer for Olive Garden. That was enough of food service.
Yeah, I waited tables at an Italian restaurant in Lubbock called Orlando's.
Oh, nice. And shout out to Orlando's.
Yeah, however, the all-you-can-eat spaghetti on Sundays was, man, those kids could make a mess.
Yeah, cause I remember Olive Garden had a similar promotion. They did the bottomless pasta at one point. Oh, that's a lot of carbs. That was before Atkins.
Yeah, it was before a lot of stuff.
Alrighty. Okay, so I do have a little prepared statement that I read to all of my guests. Just a little sentimental thing, and then I'll get your quiz. Mrs. George / Blake. I guess Miss George / Mrs. Blake.
Yes.
Because of your positive influence and guidance during a time in my life when I desperately needed it, I am sincerely grateful and better for having known you. You are one of the hundreds of kind, generous, and benevolent people I know in a world where we need every single one we can get. So keep being awesome and doing awesome things and raising an awesome kid.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I mean it. And now I'm going to be more mean and give you a quiz over the top five most difficult chemistry questions I could find.
Oh, heavens. I can tell you right now I'm going to flunk it.
All right. Let's see. Oh, in fact, I need to. Can you see my screen? I'm going to share my screen because there's one where you need to see the. You need to see the questions. Okay. Number one. Which of the following gases has the weakest attractive forces between particles? CO2, helium, NO, or HCI, or HCl, sorry.
So between, are you, but see, here's the question. That is an unclear question, because are you talking about the attractive forces within the, like the atoms that make up, like the ones that are molecules, or are you simply talking between a CO2 molecule to another CO2 molecule? I'm going to say helium.
Correct. According to the internet, according to the Google search, which I only knew about because of you.
Me.
All right. Number two, which of the following must be true for a sample of supercritical uranium or 235U? Which of the following must be true? The density exceeds that found at ambient temperatures and pressures. B, there is less density than found at ambient temperatures and pressures. C, the rate of production of neurons exceeds their rate of consumption. Or D, the sample is pure.
Oh, gosh. I would say C.
Correct. Come on. Okay. You're doing good. The rate of production of neurons exceeds their rate of consumption.
It's neutrons.
Oh, it is neutrons. I did say neuron. I was very intentional about the way I said neurons too, but it's neutrons. That's weird. Okay. Yeah. This is not biology.
Nope, not today.
Number three, true or false. Are two atoms of the same element always identical?
No. False.
Correct. For example, electrons can be in different states. What's that?
That's how you have isotopes.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me, Mr. You taught me this. Of course, I know. All right. I don't think I mentioned it. Chemistry was the science that came least easily to me. So I was glad to have had a good teacher, but it was...
Oh, I can count on one hand the number of people when I have told them that I've been a chemistry teacher that have actually said, oh, I loved chemistry.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Number four. Which of the following species... is not planar. Planar.
I would have to draw these out.
Okay, in your defense.
Oh, it's going to be E, I think.
Hold on, I think that's right. Let me see.
I think
it is
E.
Correct. That is correct. Yes. You're nailing this. Okay, and so numbers four and five, I looked up the hardest AP questions. Like, these are some of the most difficult ones that were ever asked on an AP test.
Okay, well, I've got an 80, so if I get this one wrong, I've
still
got
the B. You're doing good. Okay, number five, which of the following substance is least soluble in water? And it lists a few. Can you read those for us, for the listeners? Because I don't even know how to say those.
Okay, so you've got ammonium sulfate, potassium permanganate, barium carbonate, zinc nitrate, and sodium phosphate.
Nice, okay.
And so I am going to say that it is barium carbonate.
Correct. See, nice. All right. Look at you. 100. 100.
Yay. Awesome. I thought you were going to, your quiz was going to be like seeing 18 wheels on a big rig or something like that.
Now, was that that's a fishing for trout fishing in America song, right?
It is.
Do you like them?
They're somewhat entertaining, but
did you why did you bring that up? I'm just curious.
Well, it may have been after your group, but when we would talk about the group numbers on the periodic table, and we talk about that there are 18 going one all the way over to the noble gases, and they sing in Roman numerals.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because Mike Schilly also plays the guitar. He's a big trout fishing, and my dad as well are trout fishing in America fans. And so I knew that song well, and so now I did just connect those two. I was like, I think I might maybe remember Miss George also referencing that. That's a good song.
See? It is. But yay, I'm so proud of myself.
That was
Thank
good.
You for giving so, me that
it's funny when your degree is like pays off in weird ways. My wife recently went through doctoral program for nursing practice, so she's got her doctorate in nursing practice,
awesome.
Which is awesome. But she had me proofread her essays, and I was like, I actually have a benefit to this degree I got in writing, because I was able to fix some of her parallel issues. She had issues with parallelism in some of her sentences and just a couple comma rules that she didn't quite have mastered. I was like, this is awesome. This is actually paying off a little bit.
Absolutely.
My new party trick, which isn't really a party trick, but we were watching a TV show and somebody quoted Romeo and Juliet. And I started kind of rambling off the monologue of – because I've literally taught it every year I've taught, so I almost have half the thing memorized by now. If you give me like a line, I can tell you probably a few lines ahead. And so she just started looking up random sentences from classic novels, and I could get them right almost 80% of the time, just the first couple sentences. So I was like, that's
it. You should go to trivia night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my friend does it. Shout out to Riley Kavanaugh, who does it at Boston's over off of 35 every Wednesday night. So we've been trying to go then, but actually, I realize I can't go alone because I get so twisted out of shape and not at feeling stupid on the ones I don't know. Because like it doesn't make sense statistically to go alone, right? It makes sense to have a pool of knowledge, obviously.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, you need somebody who's good in math, somebody who's good in science, somebody who's good with pop culture.
And there's I usually had been going with friends, but there was one night I just went alone. I was like, it'll be fine. I'll see how well I do. And it was not a great scene. I was all stressed out.
I don't do well with the time restriction.
Right. Yeah. This one's fun because he'll find songs that are thematically connected to the questions and even kind of hint at the answers. Sometimes, so if you listen closely to the lyrics or to the song, it's kind of fun. It's sometimes kind of a big stretch, like it's like, oh, that was a weak connection. And sometimes it just kind of gives away the answer, but it's fun nonetheless.
Oh, he must put a lot of time into planning that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for doing this. This was awesome. I think Elizabeth Fontenot was the one that requested you, but I'd been wanting to talk to you anyway because you're always a fan favorite among our class.
Well, like I said, your class really made an impression. Yes, I have lots of fond memories from your group.
Well, shout out to all of you class of 2004 and our 10 year, I wish our 20 year anniversary is coming up next year. So 2024 will be our 20 year
big reunion.
Yep.
My 30 year reunion's coming up. So we'll see if I grace Greenville High School with my presence. For that.
Yeah. You should go. Rub it in everybody's faces, all your successes.
Oh, there you go. Well, thank you for having me, Mark.
Of course, yeah.
I appreciate it.
Well, enjoy the weather. Enjoy your life up in Denton. And again, thanks for talking to me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll talk again soon.
I hope so. Yep. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye.
Hey guys, before the outro, just wanted to remind you that the How the Heck Have You Been podcast is brought to you by the Art by Marker deck of playing cards. So I hand drew the artwork for all 52 cards plus two jokers. It's pretty sweet. Head over to my website, artbymarker.com, to check them out and support this one-man show. Thank you. All right, that was the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Today's episode was recorded by Mark Dye. Our editor is Mark Dye, and he is also the executive producer. The intro and outro music was composed by Mark Dye in high school. It's really just me doing this. To support the How the Heck Have You Been podcast, visit artbymarker.com and buy some cool art. Thanks, y'all.